Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen. Everybody doing all right? Good, good. It is so good to see you guys. I'm Russell. I am the youth pastor here, and I want to cordially invite you. Pastor John already has, but we are having our third annual Forward fundraiser / spaghetti lunch. If you got the one call, it was spaghetti lunch / cake auction, and wait for it, pie the pastor in the face. How many of you guys ready to do that today? Got a little pent-up aggression, you know, something you want to just let you pass? Now, I'm including myself on that, you know, because the youth usually put together a special pie for me, and it usually requires me bringing a change of clothes. And the first year, I had to have my daughter go to Walmart and get a clean set of clothes because I really wasn't expecting the pie that I got. I was so fortunate to get. So I do encourage you. Spaghetti of the lunch includes spaghetti, salad, dessert. It is donation only. All the money raised goes to our Forward Youth Conference coming up in Duluth, Georgia in June. Last year and then the year before, this church got behind us so generously that not one teenager had to pay to go. Not one. So we're looking forward to that. So today we're going to talk about vision correction. Amen? And in starting this, I have to let you know that when I was in my early 40s, I know you're thinking that was just, what, last year? It wasn't, honestly. But I developed a serious condition. And I feel like I'm in church family. I can share that serious condition with me. And so much so that I had to go to a specialist. And the specialist met with me and comforted me, consoled me, counseled me, and said that what you have, there is no cure for, but what you need is an arm extension. I thought, well, man, that's pretty serious. But she said, what caused the need for this is that my sight is not what it was when I was 20, and I could only hold things so far out to make them clear. She said, you're either going to have to get an arm extension or glasses. And I said, well, how much is an arm extension? Look, how many of you have glasses? How many of you did not want to get glasses when you got that diagnosis? And you just like, because to me, in my mid-40s, I'm thinking, you know, I still feel young. But I had to just acknowledge I'm not as young as I once was. And not as old as I'm going to be. Amen. So anyway, she said I was getting older, and there was apparently no cure for that. But we are going to talk about that. Some of y'all are laughing. Some of y'all are old as I am. Some of y'all are older. Y'all didn't want to amen that one. But there's a difference between sight and vision. And so we're going to work through these today in the time that we have. Sight is the physical ability to see something. I think everybody in this room, can you see me? Just raise your hand if you can see me. All right. Now, there's a pattern on my shirt. Can you make out what the pattern is? Why not? Can you see that there's little dots on this? So why can't you interpret that? Why can't you make out what that is? Because your vision is not good enough to see that. Your sight is fine because you can see that there's a pattern on there. But your vision is the ability to interpret what has been seen. You can see something but lack vision. Amen? There is a big, 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 big difference. Because when I was, before my failed arm extension, I could see something out here. But my vision was blurry, and I couldn't make out the words. That's why, you know, I may have 6 pages of notes, but the font is really, really big. Pastor, you don't ever do that, do you? Yes. All right. So how we see and interpret our world affects how we love one another. How we see and how we interpret our world also affects how we treat other people. It also affects how we view ourselves. And it affects how we see God. We may see the things of God, but then do we interpret it correctly? Or do we just not see things of God and interpret things as though it is God? Anybody ever done that? You've mistaken something that you thought was God and turned out, well, that wasn't God at all. Just making sure we're in the right crowd tonight. But check this out. In the following verse, 1 Corinthians 13, 11, and 12, Paul says this: "When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. And when I grew up, I put away childish things." Now, when's now? That's good. We get deep and theological in here. Now really is now. So now we see things imperfectly. I can see imperfectly, especially without these on, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. Now, I want you to listen to this. Let's look at another example of how wearing a different lens, because we're going to get really into lenses and types of lenses and how lenses affect our perception. But it's in Luke 24, 13 through 21. I'm going to read this for you. So you guys, we don't have the scripture up there, so that means you have to listen. You have ears and can hear, correct? Amen. All right. "That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking through the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. They walked along. They're talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them, but God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, 'Why, what are you discussing so intently?' They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. One of them, Cleopas, said, 'Well, you must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all these things that have happened there the last few days.'" And Jesus, I love this. He just, "What things?" That ever happened to you? Mike, ever happened to you? One time. "What things?" But he knows, of course, but he wants them to tell him. So he goes this, he says, "Well, the things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth, he was a prophet who did powerful miracles, mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people, but our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who'd come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago." Now, if you jump down to verse 31, I wanted to give you that backstory, but look over in verse 31, it says, "Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he vanished." That would tick me off. I mean, let's just get real and honest. Here I have shared, man, this is what's going on. I don't know who you are. I don't recognize you. This is what's happened. Pooh, oh, it's Jesus. Wait, where'd you go? I would have wanted to have a deeper, more conversation with the guy. What happened with all this? But if you look back, let me ask you this. Were they blind? So they could see him. Their sight was okay, but their vision was not quite on target because they could see a man, but they didn't interpret. Now, I understand God caused this to happen, but just for our purposes today, they could see him, but they couldn't interpret who he was. I see this guy, and he must be, I'm not being disrespectful, he must be an idiot because he's the only one that doesn't know what's been going on. And they almost have, if you can imagine, this corrective tone. You mean you don't know? You got to be the only person around that doesn't know. And Jesus just lets them talk. But if you look back at the small words in verses 20 and 21, verse 20, here's what they said. "Well, but they crucified him." Verse 21, "We had hoped he was the Messiah." And here's the thing. They were looking at this man through a different set of lenses. You know, we're going to call it today. Let's see what we got in here. We'll call this the lens of doubt. I see you, but without my glasses, I'm just not quite sure who you are. Well, what we had heard was, but they crucified him. And we had hoped. I got to watch how close I get to that. Or we'll have a different kind of service. That's right. We had hoped he was the Messiah. So that is nothing more than doubt. You know, have you ever had a time in your life where you're walking along through life and you think this thing is God, and you find yourself saying, "But God, I thought, I thought you healed people. Well, my father just passed away. What happened to that? But I thought, when we need to say, you know what, I'm going to take off the "but I thought" and go, "Oh, Jesus, that's how you do things. That's how you do it. That's not quite how I had it planned, but I see what you're talking about." See, you and I can see the exact same thing. Now, Mike, would you be willing to be a volunteer? Do you trust me? No. I appreciate your honesty. I'm okay with that. Who said, "Let's go, Mike"? Cool, get him on. Okay, Sean Blanton. I've known this man for a long time. I need you to come here. Scott. These guys. Come work with me. No, I didn't tell you. Okay. All right. If you guys can put these on. Thank you. Thank you. All right. If you guys will put those on, please. I'm here with you. Yeah, on your eyes. All right. Now, if you'll turn around and face everybody. Yeah, you got to. You can't see. Now, can you guys see my hand over here, Mike?
Where?
Okay, that's what I thought. Sean, above you, can you see my hand? Uh-uh. How about now? Uh-uh. Now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Scott, how about you?
Nope.
Over here to your left. Don't turn your head.
A little bit.
Cheater. Okay. All right. Now, listen, our vision. Okay, I got to get rid of those. Y'all get to stay there for just a minute. People with the same kind of lenses will start to attract to one another.
I hope I don't look like y'all.
Okay, we're going to let y'all go have a seat. You can have those glasses as a souvenir of your time here today. Yes. Listen, thank you guys so much. Those lenses they had are not with, well, let me ask, Scott, do you normally wear something like that?
Long time.
Long time? Daily? They don't wear these, well, Mike's keeping his on. They don't wear these every day. They have put on a lens that was not meant for them, and their vision was skewed. They could see straight in front of them, but they could not see anything coming up on their right or left or coming up behind them. Why? Because they could see, but their vision was limited. And all of a sudden, we start finding, how many of you guys like hanging around people that think the way you do? I mean, I do for the most part, you know, but then I want some people who challenge me. What happens is if we start wearing these lenses, all of a sudden we find out all you got is a bunch of people that's just looking straight ahead. All you have is people with now again, same-minded, like-mindedness is good. There's unity in the body. I get that. But what if everybody's wounded? All you got is a bunch of hurt people. We used to do ski invasion youth conferences in Gatlinburg, Tennessee years ago. It was amazing. Out of 5,000 teenagers, the speaker would get up and he would ask, how many of you guys deal with, you know, self-hurting, you know, cutting? And there would be a couple hundred over here in this area. How many of you guys deal with gender identity? Well, a couple hundred over here. These were young people from different youth groups and somehow congregated together in groups. You know why? Because they were wearing the same kind of lens and they were drawn to somebody that had similar likes and similar thinking, similar wounds, and similar lack of healing. We can do that. You know, I like these. Mike, didn't you like those? Because if I wanted to talk, thank you. I can focus right on Mike, and if Pastor Terry tried to correct me with a sign or a wave, I couldn't see him. I'm not listening to him because I got to listen to what you got to say. All right. We're one. But have you ever put on somebody else's glasses? You know, a prescription that's not yours? One time, and I'll just confess, I know this is probably not hygienic or anything like that. I put somebody else's contact lens in my eye. Maybe that's why I'm wearing glasses today. You know, and this was before I had to wear glasses. And I'm thinking, I mean, I could not bring things into focus. Now, I had 20/20 vision at that time. I was in my 20s. And I was like, I, no matter what I did, I couldn't blink my eyes enough to bring things into focus. Why? Because it was not my lens. I was looking through somebody else's lens, and it distorted my perception of what the world is really like. So whether you have 20/20 vision or not, everybody, I mean, matter of fact, how many here have 20/20 vision? Without glasses. Okay, awesome. How many have 20/20 vision with corrective lenses? Okay, but I'll say this, whether you have 20/20 vision or not, we're all wearing lenses today. Every one of us in here. And what I call this is, we did this down at youth. Is Nina still here? Some of the youth had to go down to get your food ready. But Nina Swanson, we did a similar thing with this in the gym, and it's called the lens of experience. And I took one of these little lighting gels, and I told Nina, I said, hold it up to your face and wrap it around, and she held it real tight. I said, what do you see? She said, well, I still see everybody. I said, but what do they look like? She said, well, everybody's red. Okay, so if I have this lens, this is my experience in life. And if I'm looking at you, you look sort of red, reddish, kind of purple. And I could come up to Pastor Terry and say, Pastor Terry, why are you so red? And he would say, he's not. But I say, well, yes, you are. Because that's why I see you that way. This is my life experiences, and how I let my experiences come through my life affects how I see people. That makes sense? And you can have good experiences or not. There are studies that show that colors elicit certain emotions or can have an effect on emotions. The color red can be anger. It can be passion. Everybody's heard of rose-colored glasses. It can be that as well. But if I have an angry experience in my life and I'm looking through the lens of anger, I'm wanting to know why y'all are so mad at me. And you say, I'm not mad at you. Well, yes, you are, because you look that way. The way I see you, Jason, is you're mad. And Jason, like, oh, I am. I'm, you know, mad. He's hungry, he says. But, you know, we do this, and that's my lens. That's my experience. And we have all kinds of these. Blue. If you got blue lenses, well, just sort of shy, calm, peaceful, trust. And that's how you view people. And if we go through the yellow, cowardice, or caution, that can be a good thing. Green, maybe you have green lens, disgust, envy, balance, or growth. Maybe you look at life through a gray lens, and it's just a lens of depression, emotionless, or compromise. Maybe you look at the world through black lenses, and it's cold, it's mournful, and you keep things bottled up. So for the rest of the time that we have, we're going to look at these as the color of the lenses from which we view our world. So if you look at 2 Corinthians 3:16-18, and it says, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. I want you to go back to that verse 16. Perfect. Whenever someone does what? Turns. Who's doing the turning? Someone. Me. You. But who's taking the veil away? So we turn and the Lord takes the veil. But we've got to have a turning. And you know, we may have a lens from childhood. Yeah? Now, we don't have time to get into it. But most men would not wear pink glasses with a little bow on it. But I'm going to tell you this. There are some men who have gone through things in their life where you're a sissy. You're not a man. you act like a girl. And we have that. And before long, that man will wear that lens and begin to perceive his life through that lens of woundedness. Some of them, oh, let's see what all we got in here. Mike, if you want another one of these, I've got one. Some of them, we talk about the anger lens. I am just mad, and I'm going to stay mad. This is my Jurassic Park sunglasses. The lady at Walmart really enjoyed my checkout the other day, I think. But we wear this thing, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you see here. Well, it does, but I look mad, I think, and it's probably strange and a little silly. But I can wear this. Well, I wouldn't, but I could wear it all the time. It's going to affect how you respond to me. And then I'm going, well, what is wrong with you? Until I turn to the Lord and he removes the veil. Oh, let's see. Some of them, these are my favorite. They are no lens at all. And yet we think we're wearing something. We will pretend to put on a lens, and people come up. You got no glasses in there, Russell. Well, yes, I do. No, you don't. You got no protection from wind or dust or anything. It's just a frame. It's your, now listen to this. It's your frame of reference. But there's no lens in it. So if my sight is bad here, my sight is bad here. And we're just looking through an empty frame of reference with no substance, no depth. It's just a frame. So we do what? We turn, and the Lord removes. Oh, let's see. This is just one of my favorites. Batman. Those of you that know me know that Batman is my favorite superhero. Now, I'll tell you why, in case you don't know. It's because I used to be a man who knew how to wear masks. And that's what Batman did. He knew how to wear a mask and hide his true identity from the people that he was closest to. Thank God that a point came in my life where I turned to the Lord and he removed that veil. Amen? Then you got these. I kind of like these. You know, I didn't even try these on until now. Everything looks kind of blue, kind of calm, peaceful, mostly, most of you. Happy. And I think the part of the blue color was trusting. Most of you look trusting. Apparently it's the lens of honesty, too, so But again, this could be the thing of exaggeration. You know, over the top. You ever know anybody that just is over the top in everything they do? Now, you don't have to elbow the person beside you or anything. I'm not asking it. Yeah, talking about you, you know. But, I mean, in just everything. It's like they always got to be the center of attention. They always got to be over the top in everything. They always got to tell a story that's one up better than yours. Or maybe they put themselves down so much. But it's all over the top and exaggerated. And again, until they turn and do what? Let the Lord remove the veil. Now, okay. I better keep those up there or I won't be able to see. But, you know, all through Scripture, you know, the Lord, he removes veils. He restores sight. He even calls some people blind who are physically able to see. Remember the Pharisees? Remember the disciples in Mark chapter 8 that he said, have you eyes and yet you cannot see, ears and you can't hear? And so the question is, are you in that place? Are you in a place of having eyes, but you just really can't see? Or maybe you can see, but your vision has been distorted. So the final lens I want to wrap up with, probably the most dangerous lens that you can have, is the one of virtual reality. I'm going to back up here. But this, okay, I'm just going to stand right here, or right there. Because right now, I can't see any of you. If this had my smartphone inside of it, I could create my own little virtual world. I am isolated from outside influences. And if I had the headphones that can come with this, I wouldn't even be able to hear you. But I create my own little virtual world. And I respond to people from this virtual viewpoint. I'd rather see you. Definition for virtual. Almost or nearly as described, but not completely or according to strict definition. It's virtual. It's almost that, but not completely. Well, I sort of follow Jesus, just not quite. And then the definition of augmented, you add to, you supplement, you sweet, I think I swell. That was my typo. Swell or inflate. You know anybody that's ever been like that? An inflated ego? So for those of us who are a little advanced in our years, I've never used one of those virtual headsets. So I did some studying on them. And all the manufacturers of these things say that you should take a break after about 30 minutes. Because what it does to your, this is according to Business Insider 2018 report, what happens to your physical body in the real world when you've been in the virtual reality for too long? Loss of spatial awareness. I'm not sure where I'm at. Dizziness, disorientation, seizures, nausea, eye soreness, and trouble focusing. I think spiritually the same thing happens. If we create this virtual world where all we're going to do is listen to who we think we are, and we're looking in this mirror, with puzzling reflections, and we can't see clearly yet, and we've created this place, then we're going to respond to our outside world from a virtual viewpoint. But if we come out of that, we're going to be dizzy, we're going to be disoriented, because all we've done is listen to our own head. We've listened to the voices that keep telling us who we are. We've looked in the mirror with all these different lenses and come up with our own identity when we need to come to the Lord and come to His Word and find out who we really are. Amen? Amen? There's a guy named Jack McNee doing my study for this. He holds a world record for time spent using a virtual reality headset. He spent 36 hours. 36 hours playing a 3D drawing game, and he's drawing and it's showing him do all this, and he's going through all the motions and he's enjoying this thing. Now he, like a lot of people, these symptoms and these kind of effects aren't, everybody doesn't respond the same way, okay? Matter of fact, he had none of these symptoms when he was through with 36 hours. But at the end of his video, you look at it and he says, I don't have any of those symptoms, but right now I don't feel anything below my neck. Really? So you think 36 hours, a day and a half basically, separated from the real world, and he couldn't feel anything below his neck. But some of us are doing the very same thing. We're spending hour and hour and hour with this virtual world we've created. And it may not be online. It may not be your social media, but it could. Because I like social media, but I hate it. I see the damage it's done to relationships and what it's done with teenagers and this kind of thing. And I see that and I'm like, good Lord, we've got to reach these young people. I mean, we really do, because they're in a virtual world. I was talking to one teenager, and if you're on social media and you've got all these little windows minimized, you're chatting with one and you minimize and chat with somebody else, completely different subjects. And then I was talking to this young person and they were talking to me and then they wanted to get on their phone and talk to me. I said, whoa, 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 put that down. We're in the real world here. Talk to me face to face. Let's have a conversation. They were 14, 15 now, or then. Now they're 18, about to be 19. And we can actually have face-to-face conversations now because they've understood the balance between virtual world and the real thing. Virtual lenses and headsets are specifically designed. Now, this is according to reports from Business Insider. They're specifically designed to block outside influences or the real world so that you are completely immersed into the virtual experience. Because if you can get immersed where all you see is what's in your vision, all you hear is what's directly in your ears, and you are blocked from outside influences, then you have created your own little virtual world, which will be shallow and meaningless. But not to you, not to me, if I'm in that virtual world. Until what? Until we turn and let the Lord remove that veil. Let the Lord remove that headset. Now, I want you to watch this video on virtual reality.
Tired of having to wake up, get dressed, and drive across town just to attend your favorite service? Introducing Virtual Reality Church. Start by choosing a church building that meets your needs. Tired of the stress of having to choose a Sunday morning outfit? Never make a fashion mistake again, because Virtual Reality Church will style you based on your denomination. Not a people person? Select the introvert experience to completely eliminate the welcome team, meet and greet time, connect cards, and that awkward hold hands with the person next to you thing we still do. Next, personalize your morning by choosing the worship experience that you want. Feeling a touch of white guilt? Add a minority worship leader. Custom options even let you tailor the skinniness of your worship leader's jeans. Finally, no more having to endure songs that you don't like. With Virtual Reality Church, you're in charge. For the sermon, choose the amount of conviction you like and we'll select a pastor for you. We'll even let you tailor your sermon topics so you'll never have to attend a Vision Sunday or a sermon series on giving. And never worry again about dozing off during the sermon. With Virtual Reality Church, you can sleep as long as you want. Kids being bad in nursery? Who cares? Worried about missing a football game? Enter your favorite team and we'll provide notifications when the game is starting. Never miss a kickoff again. Want to go forth for prayer? Well, if you selected a Pentecostal service, always stand in front of a mattress. Even connect your social media accounts and we'll post for you. Get credit for being super spiritual all from the comfort of your couch. Finally, an option for people asking the question, how can I make Sunday morning even more about me? Virtual Reality Church, the future of church attendance.
I'm not pushing for that, okay? Just so you know. Because listen, while some of us may go, oh man, that would be really convenient. Man, I wouldn't have to do anything. And I love the line, so you can make church more about you, when church is not about you. I mean, it's really not. But it is about what the Lord can give to you and minister to you and through you and heal you and, again, remove those veils. But and I would say John Crist is the Christian comedian that put this video together. He is hilarious. You know, I mean, that is a funny, funny video. But then I watch it and I get sort of convicted. You know, because, man, that would be convenient. Just that day that I don't feel like getting up, you know? But that, I think, is the danger of building this virtual reality, because really, virtual is like taking all of these and it's Batman. He's got this. Thank you, Pat. Appreciate that. It's like taking all those and combining them into one. Because if I take the hurts from my past and my narrowed vision and the masks I used to wear and my emotional, you know, over-the-top fake lenses kind of thing and cram them all into world, then I've got my little world. And that's how I'm going to live. And that's the danger. And so what I want to do, wrapping this thing up, the more we wear the lens of virtual or augmented reality, the more likely we are and the more susceptible we are to start making up our own gospel. We just start making up things about who God is, about his nature, because we don't understand. We have blocked out outside godly influences, and we have made up our own thing. We have become blinded to the truth. And if you look over in Romans 1, verses 20 through 25, and he says, "For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly what? See his invisible qualities." Do you catch that? We can see God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. And as a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. In verse 25, they traded the truth about God for what? A lie. I have built my little world. This is how I perceive people. It's how I perceive myself. And it is certainly how I perceive God. So I have exchanged, I have traded. So they worship and serve the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. And so as someone in youth ministry, what we have to learn, because most of any teenagers hanging around still, most of them are down there. We have got to learn to look at them through the right lens. Because see, we have, as adults who have lived longer, had more experiences, we've got a certain set of lenses we look at young people through. It's not always accurate. I can remember years ago, back when the really real baggy jeans, you know, and they were called JNCOs, if you guys, anybody remember those, had one young person, he went to Bilo and stole two-liter drinks in the pockets of these jeans. I'm like, really? Two-liters? Yeah. Bragging about it. But there's another young man. His name's Cody Morgan, Andrea. Yeah, there you are. Cody Morgan, Andrea's son, used Elmer's glue and Kool-Aid to style his hair, right? This mohawk and big Statue of Liberty thing, they called it. And, I mean, just weird clothes and things that he would just make. One of the most creative minds I've ever seen in a young person. And I had a person come to me in church one day and goes, "What's with that kid? What's with that kid? Who does he think he is? I don't get him. I don't understand him." I said, "You know, he's really not looking for your approval. He is not looking for you to get him or even understand him. What he's looking for is just acceptance and love, like we're all looking for. He's just doing it a different way." And again, he was part of our youth praise team. I mean, he loved God, you know, and he's doing what? How many kids he's got now? Yeah, thank you. And so this young man who was weird and glue Kool-Aid hair now works for the Billy Graham Association. You know, there have been youth that have come through our youth ministry, and I'm like, they will not make it. I mean, I'm being honest, and I hope you're not parents of some of those. And so don't ask me afterwards, "Was that one of my kids?" I will probably lie to you if it was. But there were some, I mean, I would just think, psh, golly, God, if they make it, it'll be a miracle. Seriously. But then at some point in their life, because I've now become friends with some of them as they're adults, married and got kids on Facebook, and they're doing great. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. At some point, they turned to the Lord and the veil was removed. Okay? So several times in Matthew 23, Jesus referred to Pharisees as blind. Of course, they could see. You know, the Pharisees saw the same miracles everybody else did. Their sight was fine. It's their vision or their interpretation that was messed up. And I think we're not much different from them sometimes. But you know, in closing, I just want to remind us, there's only one lens that God uses. And it's the lens of Jesus Christ. So when you get frustrated, and I've got two teenagers, you know, I get it. And I've helped raise more teenagers than I can count. Anthony Holler over here, that I served in youth ministry for years together. And we have seen teenagers and hundreds of them, you know. So when you get to that point and you're like, God, I just don't know if they're going to make it. What lens are you looking at them through? Is it your lens or is it the lens of Jesus Christ? Because when we come in and we're in our mess and in our messed up lenses that we tend to still wear, God looks at us and he looks down at Scott and he has to kind of adjust himself, because if you work with me here for a second, he doesn't see Scott or his mess or his failures or his goodness, because there's somebody between God and Scott, and it's Jesus. So God looks down at Scott and only sees the goodness of Jesus, only sees the perfection of Jesus. Now, we all know Scott's not perfect, because sometimes he's got narrow vision. But it's the same with all of us. And God just says, I don't see your mess. We'll work on that. What you got to see is that I see Jesus. You're there, my child, my son, my daughter. But who I see is my son. And what you got to know is God's sight and his vision is perfect. Better than 20/20. So we come back and we go, yeah, but you don't know what I did. And God says, no, actually I do. I know exactly what you did. I know exactly who you hurt. I know exactly who you betrayed. I know who rejected you. I know who abused you. I know the wounds that you're carrying. But right now, all I see is Jesus. Okay? You know, and we've got to come, yeah, but. It's just like the lens of doubt that the guys on the road to Emmaus had. But they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah. I thought that my life was going to be different. But God, you didn't answer that prayer. And God says, I just see Jesus. Let's work on this other stuff. So when we look in our mirrors, when we have all these different lenses on, let's, as adults, practice just turning to the Lord and let him remove that veil, so that then we can reach this generation that is desperately in need of caring adults who have, hear me, godly standards. I'm not saying let's just let anything happen, let anything go, but I can promise you, if you're not, who's it talked about, living the worship songs? Dan, was that you, living the songs, you know, that we're singing about? If we're not living the scripture that we're trying to beat our kids up with, then we're going to push them away and they will go pick up some other lens and we may lose them. So let's first come to our own identity. You know, as a matter of fact, Justin, you still, yeah, you better be up there. You're running, helping run media. Justin and I were talking earlier, and he went to this conference encounter a couple of weeks ago, and he said that one thing he learned was that an oriented man, an oriented person, for my purposes today and ours, a person who is willing to let the Lord remove the veil and see through a lens clearly, has nothing to hide, nothing to prove, and nothing to fear. And that's good things to live by. Because if we can do that and live for Christ, then we're going to teach that to the next generation. And they're going to see that they have nothing to hide, nothing to fear, nothing to prove. Just live for the Lord. But we've got to start looking at these kids down here through the lens of Jesus. Amen? And as we do that, then we'll understand in 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2, where Jesus is the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of the world. I've got a video we're going to play. I know we've gone over, but this video is about 7 minutes, so I'm letting you know up front. It's a song called I Am Loved by Mac Brock. He used to be one of the lead worship singers at Elevation Church in Charlotte. And but when I heard this song and saw it's just a lyric video, I thought this will be perfect to close this with. because we've got to understand that we're loved by God just as we are. So as this song starts, the prayer team and people who are ready to pray with you will be down here at the altar, and I want you to respond as you see fit. You may have some lenses that you need to get rid of. This is your time to turn to the Lord. I'm not saying you're not saved, not a Christian, but I've been a Christian since I was 10 years old. You know, but there have been lenses through my life that periodically the Lord would say, it's time to get rid of that one. It's time to get rid of that one. Time to put that one down. So you guys go ahead and play the video, and prayer team, if y'all will come forward, and we're going to close.
Just as I am.
Father, we come to you today thankful that we are loved by you. God, as we turn to you, as we learn to turn to you, that Father, we just ask you, remove any veil that is still in our life. Remove any lens that we may not even be aware of. And may we see clearly who you are. And then may we learn who we really are. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Pastor.
Good job. Amen. I know it's late. I have one more thing to do. If you'll just give me about 5 minutes, is that okay? It's very important. We have some missionaries that are here that I want to recognize. And if you guys could come up. And we always want to be able to acknowledge what God is doing in the world. People from different places. And I found out this family's from Ohio. And I know we have a couple of families here that's from Ohio. But we'd like to meet them and pray for them and send them out. So tell us a little bit about it.
So first of all, thank you for letting us worship with you. It's an encouragement this morning. It really was. We've been to quite a few churches over the past who knows how long, and it was such an encouragement. There's such a joy here, and it's not everywhere. And so I thank you for that, that you allow the Spirit to move, right? The joy, the fruit of the Spirit is joy, and it's good to see you allowing Him to move. And so thank you. It was an encouragement this morning. So this is my wife, Stephanie. This is Celia, this is Will, my name is David Connell, and we're from Ohio. We actually have another daughter, Melina, who's 18, who's not with us. And I'll try to make this quick, because I know I don't want to stand between you and lunch. But real quick, God has called us at this time of our lives. We're just heading out into the mission field for the first time. And it's scary, it's exciting, but we just keep taking one step of obedience at a time. And this sermon really resonates with our journey, Mass. We're going into Latin America. We're going to be living in the Dominican Republic, but we're going to be serving across Latin America from Mexico through Brazil. We're going to be overseeing and working with missionaries located across the region. And our focus is we're asking God for a gospel movement among every least reached people group in our generation. And we want to see the Holy Spirit move in places where he hasn't moved before, where people don't know about the name of Jesus. And so they're living with all these masks, and they don't even realize it. They don't even realize it. The voodoo that is prevalent in the worship and the following of evil spirits is prevalent, curses, and they live in this world of fear. And so that's very prevalent. Or animism, where they believe that objects have spiritual essence in worship of ancestors. And that's where they live. They don't even know. We come from a frame of view of Jesus. We have some amount of knowledge about Jesus here in America, right? They have no clue. They don't even know he exists. There's no hope. There's no hope. And so we're going there to share the good news, to oversee others who will bring the good news of Jesus, that there is hope, that there is life to be had in the name of Jesus. So we thank you for being here today.
Well, it's such an honor. I'd like for the elders to come up, and if everyone would stand, and we're going to pray for them and send them out. The body of Christ is in Ohio as well. You know what I'm saying? The body of Christ is everywhere. So these are our brothers and sisters. And even though we just met them, we really want to pray over them and send them out, and we'll cover them with our prayers as well. I know they're covered by the prayers of their own church and any other church that they went to. But if you'll just stand up and come up, any other elders that are still here, just come on up. And if you feel led to pray for them, I want you to just come on up, okay? And we'll do that. Father, we just thank you for this beautiful family. Lord, we know that you have much work. And you told us to pray for laborers. Lord, these are your laborers. It is truly your harvest. They've answered the call for your harvest to come forth and to be people that are putting their hands, their heart to work, to do things that you're asking them to do, sending them forth in the name of Jesus with your power, with your Holy Spirit, with your protection, your love, your grace, and your mercy. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we as a church at Father's Vineyard cover them with our prayers. And we ask you now, Lord, to protect them every step of the way. Provide for them every penny that they need. And, Lord, I pray that you will prepare the ground, prepare the people from where they're, to where they're going, and they would be able to reach, Lord, to break the curses, to remove the things that are there that is not of you, and to raise up the standard of Jesus Christ, that they may see the light and come to a saving knowledge and a saving grace of Jesus Christ. So we send them forth in your name, we pray. Amen. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. Give God praise for sending, still sending people out. Amen. Well, we have food down at the Family Life Center. All our visitors, I want you to come and join us. It's just a fundraising thing that we do for our youth, but you're welcome to come. God bless you. Amen. Great job.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.